So, hi everyone. Welcome back to Stalin on You. This is our second episode. I'm Tiffany.
Yeah, hi Tiffany. Hi everyone. I'm glad we are back. I'm Vladimir. Maybe you remember me from the first episode.
Yeah, from about a month ago, but that's okay. Yeah. I think our aim is maybe like one podcast a month. This episode, we're going to do just one story. And this story is going to be a local one from not where I'm from, but where I'm living currently in Russia, in Astrakhan. And I guess I'll give a little bit of Astrakhan background. I've been here 6 years. I think I can like say a little bit. I don't know, it's known for its like watermelons. 6 years. Yeah, 6 years. I've been called an Astrakhanka. I don't know. Whatever you call a female Astrakhan woman. So I'm local now. Astrakhanka, so yeah, I'm local. But yeah, we got the best watermelon in all of Russia, Vobla. And I think this was the place of black caviar, or still is. I don't know.
Wobla is a fish.
Yeah, very, well, it's not salty when it's fresh, but you make it really salty, and it kind of takes a bit to get used to. Black caviar, I have not had the chance to eat that, but that's okay. And also, Astrakhan is pretty small. I don't know, is 500,000 roughly people, like, would you say that's a small city in Russia?
Yeah, it's kind of small.
Yeah, compared to you, it's, how many is over by you?
Do you mean the population?
Yeah, what's the population by you?
It's more than 1 million.
Okay.
In Krasnodar.
Yeah, so we're pretty small. It sounds like a lot of people, but I think we're including like the whole oblast, which would maybe be like the equivalent to a state in the U.S. So it's like not just the city. I think they're including like all the villages. Do you think that's accurate? 'Cause I'm just kind of guessing.
I think that's accurate, yes.
Okay. The I don't same. Want to be, like, making up statistics of populations and I'm, like, wrong.
I think the same is with Krasnodar. So, like, a lot of villages, they kind of became the part of Krasnodar. Like, the borders of Krasnodar, they just, I don't know, expanded.
Keep expanding. It's a bigger region than Astrakhan, right? Like, I guess the Krasnodar Oblast, or is it just Krasnodar Krai?
It's Krai, and I don't know the difference between Oblast and Krai, so.
Me either. I was kind of curious about that. I guess I'll have to look it up later. It's kind of a good thing to understand, like, what is the difference between an Oblast and a Krai?
I don't know, so, they mean the same, just different words.
Just different words. Yeah, I was trying to think, in the U.S., we just have states. There's territories, but it's a little different. There's a clear difference. But anyway, yeah, so, yeah, Astrakhan is not so big, not so popular, and
it has Kremlin.
Oh, it has the Kremlin, yes. None of this
because Krasnodar doesn't have it.
Yeah, a lot of places, not everywhere has a Kremlin. We have a Kremlin. Oh, nothing too significant in this story about Astrakhan itself, just that it took place here. And this case is also really recent. The sentencing actually took place just December, I guess like 2 months ago. And this case actually took place during our quarantine, the strictest part of quarantine last March. So actually, this is like the anniversary of this case. We're right at the beginning of it. So yeah, let's start off by let me practice saying this guy's name again, this last name. Parayankov?
Parayankov.
Parayankov. Parayankov.
Parach. Parach. Parach.
Parach.
Parach. Nyakov. Nyakov.
Nyakov. Was that like you spitting or pronouncing the name? It sounded like both.
I'm sorry, I'm sick.
It's okay. It just sounded like, because sometimes that KH is like,
it's just,
yeah, I just, when I see the English like KH, I'm like, okay, I know this K means literally nothing in English. It's like, but I don't get why it's written like that in English. All right. Well, okay. So, again, last names are going to be difficult for me to pronounce. I will do my best.
I can pronounce it for you every time.
Yeah, you can interrupt me with this last name. Again, it's a doozy. All right. So our story, like I said, this is kind of the anniversary of the story. It took place in March, the very beginning of March. And our story is about Alex Parayankov.
Parayankov. Okay.
There you go. So in the beginning of March, the beginning of March, Alex's father and mother, they both contacted the police on about March 6th that he was missing. His mother, Galina Morozova, she has a different last name, had told the police that on the 4th of March, Sasha, Alex, and Sasha, I'll be using them probably interchangeably, but Sasha is also another name for Alex. So Sasha had left for school that morning, the 4th of March, and never came back home. So our story is about Alex Parayankov. He's 11 years old, and on the 6th of March, his parents, Nikolai and Galina Morozova, reported to the police that he was missing. So this was about 2 days after he went missing. They told police on the 4th of March, 2020, that Sasha had left for school and never came back home. And I'm going to probably be saying Alex and Sasha interchangeably. I'll try to stick to one, but
yeah, because it's the same.
Yeah, the same. In Russia, Sasha is Alex. So on about, I guess, according to everything I read, the 7th of March, the Astrakhan police issued a search for Sasha. They put together 5 teams of criminal investigation officers, district police officers, and traffic police. 2 other teams, I guess I forgot to mention them. I'm assuming maybe like just some search parties of everyday people, some civilians. I don't know, they seem to have got everything together pretty quick. A lot of cases I've listened to, like about U.S. cases, if you report someone missing, you often hear like, oh, has it been 24 hours? Has it been 48 hours? We can't really do anything. In this case, it's about a child, so I guess they acted on it pretty quick. I don't know, do you have any like knowledge of like timing on missing persons cases? Do they normally act pretty quick, depending on if it's like a child or an adult?
I think it's the same. I think if someone is missed for about 24 hours, you can go to the police and report about missing. And I think a lot of volunteer organizations, they mm-hmm. take part in this kind of research.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of, like, nowadays, especially, like, social media, you can get teams put together pretty fast. His parents, they reported him missing 2 days after he went missing. So they said March 4th, they reported it on, I don't know, it's a little late, especially since it's a child. Why 2 days?
I'm sorry. Uh-huh. I'm sorry, I'm wrong. It's
44 hours? 48. Oh, 48. I was like, whoa,
44 is
a random number.
It's
48. Okay, so yeah, it's like the U.S. Like, I mean, you should report something if you think it's important as soon as possible. I think most people think that. But I guess maybe, like, law enforcement, I don't know, doesn't take action just in case or for whatever reason. Unfortunately, because sometimes it matters to react as soon as possible. But yeah, I think 2448 seems to be what I've also, like, read about and heard. So, well, Astrahan put together these five teams, and so far the last place he was seen on Admiral Street, which was where the family lives, and on the day of his disappearance, his parents marked that he had been wearing some black pants, a khaki jacket, and his sister, he's one of four, I think, one of four kids. He's the youngest one in the family, and he has an older sister, and her name is Natalia, and on March 4th, she told reporters that he didn't go to school, but he went for a walk. His friends nor his classmates knew anything about where he was, and she also said that his phone was off. So, you know, people have been trying to call and no one could get in contact with him. So I'm assuming some searches have been still going on. It's now March 11th. Sasha is missing for almost a week. And now there's already rumors spreading for some reason about this child, about his character. People had been writing on social media that Sasha was like a street child who did drugs and, you know, hung out with not so great crowds. Natalia, the sister, even said that people were making threats and just saying nasty things about the family in general. And I'll note this family, or the mother, Galina Mazarova, is like a political figure here. I was never aware of her, like, political practices here, but I don't pay too much attention to local, like, politics too much.
You were more interested about Trump, I guess.
Yeah, I definitely am way more focused on the American stuff since it makes a little bit more sense to me. I don't understand the full, like, Russian system of government, or even, like, local government is, I think, quite different than local government in, like, Virginia, where I'm from, or just the states in general. But yeah, we'll get into her interesting political career for sure. She's an interesting character there. But Sasha's sister, again, doesn't deny that, like, he was acting like a typical teenager. I mean, he was 11. I know, I'm trying to think of, like, what I was doing around 11 years old. Probably running around the neighborhoods. I didn't live, like, in the city, so. But he also seemed pretty busy. His parents, I don't know, gave him, tons of stuff to do. He was, let's see, he has a list here. He was, like, the Southern Federal District champion in Taekwondo. He played piano. He, like, competed in piano competitions. He had five diplomas. Maybe they meant, like, five belts in karate. I'm not familiar with karate. I don't know if you are, but oh, diplomas, belts. We'll see. And he also did, like, oh, I hate this word, I'm gonna try and say it, but esquitarian sports, like horse stuff. He rode some horses. Yeah, I think there's like some videos and playing the piano, riding horses, and he also did rowing, kayaking, and he also studied in like a cadet corps. I don't think the S is pronounced. School. So, yeah, he was a pretty busy kid. I think not much time for, I don't know, doing these things. Yeah, like these things that people maybe accused him of for whatever reason. Who knows where these rumors came from? But yeah, like he probably, I'm sure he wanted to hang out with friends and maybe like any 11, 12 year old kid, you know, didn't always listen to his parents and wanted to like hang out. So yeah, he was pretty busy. Oh, still missing. The search is continuing. There's about 100 people and about 31 search teams. Sasha's mother, at this point, she wrote a note, which I had sent you this note because I asked you to translate it for me. She like wrote that she consents to the use of force in like detention of her son if necessary, so that there were no problems with law enforcement, I guess, when they found him. So this was, and this note was written March 10th, and I have a photo for it that I'll probably post later. But yeah, I thought that was kind of a weird statement to make. Was it weird to you when you read that? I don't know, did you think anything of it? Like,
it's difficult to say. There is no civil arrest in Russia.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's illegal with this note to, like, I don't know, to catch him.
Okay, because that's what I was wondering. I'm like, well, why would they need to arrest him? He's just a kid. Like, he's missing. So if they find him, they find him. I just never thought about permission. Maybe it works differently here. Maybe I'm just not aware of it in the U.S. I don't know. Most, like, missing cases, I've never heard of any parent needing to, like, clarify with officers that they could do something like that. Like, sounded weird to me.
Maybe.
I mean, generally, when someone's missing, you're not really focused on how they're found. Just that they're found, and not, I don't know.
Methods?
Yeah, the methods. I mean, obviously, you wanted them safe, alive, and all of that, but you're not too concerned about, I guess, the consent of force, That's what confused me. Like, yeah, he's 11 years old.
Yeah, it sounds strange. I agree.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Maybe it's a standard procedure.
She is in politics. Maybe there's some reasoning behind it. So, what we're at March 16th now. So it's been about 10, 11 days of searching. And according to local authorities, they have possible footage of Sasha around the city. So Sasha's parents, Nikolai and Galina, they accurately identify him on these cameras, on this footage. They recognize him. And so to them, around this time, she's also mentioned that maybe he's been around the house, all around the street, due to these like cameras. And at this time, she also mentions that before her son disappeared, he'd been with some bad company, and specifically calls out some 19-year-old like drug dealer or someone who was like involved with drugs. No name, just kind of this mysterious 19-year-old figure who maybe her son was hanging out with. as like a possible, I don't know, maybe had something to do with his disappearance, but kind of only her one mention. And then other than that, nothing really comes of it. So at this point, investigators haven't opened a criminal case because his mother has identified him on these cameras. And apparently, there needs to be about a month needs to pass before they can open up a criminal case on this. I never even thought about like how long someone would need to be missing to make something criminal.
I should have, I should have read something and watched something about it.
I tried to look some of these like things up, but sometimes it's really like vague or it's so specific. I don't know where to look for this information. So
yeah, like missing people, I never researched the theme.
I know most of the time when I'm listening about cases of missing people, it's a mix of like there's some evidence of like something bad's happened, or sometimes there's literally like nothing. But I've never really thought about when it becomes criminal in either instance. I'm sure there's so many variations, like depending on what's happening in the case. All right. So, and that's pretty much where March ends. So, and during this time in March, as I'm sure like almost everybody who's listening experienced, it was kind of like the very beginning of COVID here in Astrahan specifically. Like that was when we were on, I think, like complete lockdown. Was it the same by you too in March?
Like, yes, it was the same, and I think it started in March. I think in January, like the government was concerned about this virus, and in March, quarantine began.
Yeah, so it started, it was like that here too. So March was kind of like March, April. Half of May was kind of like the most serious of like self-isolation. So yeah, we're at the end of March here, and just kind of all my resources kind of just stopped, except for Sasha's mother, her Galina Morozova's VK account, which VK is just basically just like a copy of Facebook for Russia. So she has quite a few posts, and all of these posts are in April. They're translated, maybe not the best. I'm going to read some of these notes. I'm not going to read everything because some of it doesn't make sense. I don't know if it's her or the translating, but it could be both. So this first one is April 23rd of 2020. And she writes, "The disappearance of a child is a great tragedy in the family. Endless days of waiting and hoping tormented my soul and took my life. Heart attacks, arrhythmia, insomnia, neurosis. I seem to be standing behind the last line. My children and grandchildren literally pulled me out of the pool of emotions. Everyone around me interprets my situation in proportion to their mental accumulations. Some with compassion and kindness, some with anger and hatred. For myself, I realized one thing. No matter how a mother raises her child in love and care, a social society that we received as the result of the reform, in quotations, of education and the capitalist way of life can absorb any child in a matter of months. My situation has made me wonder what I can do to prevent other children from repeating the mistakes of my youngest son. How can I protect the other families from the same grief as mine? Therefore, I cannot sit idly by. I cannot calmly look at the destruction of the best human qualities that we received during the Soviet Union. That is why I joined the movement for a new socialism. The new socialism is the people's self-government by the state. This is the preservation of market relations with the determination of state priorities. This is the state regulation of economic spheres. Who among the representatives of small and medium-sized businesses owns new technologies, scientific developments? Entrepreneurs flounder on their own with their eyes closed. Only in the conditions of new socialism, the state can implement through them the movement of progress. This means new jobs, growth, blah, blah, blah. All those who are happy for us, the future of their children, who feel sorry for their old people, who love their homeland, I invite you to join us. Yeah, this starts off as some grief and then turns into we need socialism in our lives again.
Yeah, I don't know. This note is, I'd say it's disgusting.
Yeah, it's, at first you're kind of like, I know as I was reading the first part, I was like, yeah, I can kind of feel like her child's missing. I can feel like she feels sad about something, but then you barely, it's not even halfway through, it totally turns into, I'm assuming the reform is maybe like when the Soviet Union collapsed, and I wouldn't say it went straight to capitalism, but I think that's what she means at that point. So some more interesting information that I found about this woman, Galina Morozova. So she was a part of the Just Russia, I don't know, branch of local government. I'm not really sure what that means, but not super important, for several years. And she had been trying to like run for local Astrakhan, like she wanted to be the governor of Astrakhan. But apparently like no one in her party really liked her so much, but she was like still a functioning member. I know we went through quite a few governors. I didn't really realize we had like three, the two resigned, and then the Kremlin had to throw someone in there at the end. So I know after like wanting to become the governor of Astrakhan and not successfully being supported by her party, she left Just Russia and joined this party she mentions for new socialism. And in 2018, she also tried to run for president alongside Putin, never made it to the ballot. So, and I read in an article, like she was trying to make her statement for president, and they pretty much told her to like, come on, hurry up, say what you have to say and get out of here. But she has a quote from this time that I think is important to like kind of have in here. So according to Morozova, she was brought into politics by two pains. The pain for children. Oh, wait, I read that wrong. So according to Morozova, she was brought into politics by two pains. The pain is for the children, and I have four of them, and the pain for justice. And it's not just my pain. It's the pain of the hundreds and thousands of mothers who live in our country. So this quote is from her when she was trying to run for president and wanted to state why she came to politics. So we have our second note from April 25th. Again, it's another rambling about self-isolation, because we're still in quarantine here, and just her experience of how great communism was. And yeah, talking about the motherland, then it goes on to the fatherland. And her third note, which we end up skipping a month. So we have these two notes from April. May, I didn't really find anything. All I know for the most part is that searches still kept continuing for Sasha. I'm pretty sure his sister was kind of like running the face of like making sure it like was on social media, making sure people were like aware of like he's still missing. She seemed to run like social media pages. But we have a third note from Morozova in June, the beginning of June 3rd, 2020. And I'm not going to read this whole one either. I'll just briefly explain it. She kind of just goes on about being upset that her son is still missing and more about isolation and the government not handling the pandemic right. And then there was a reporter, a local Astrakhan reporter, who just had some suspicions about Morozova's actions throughout the searches for her son, mentioning the CCTV camera footage, her VK posts, her still being fairly active in government. And for him, it just seemed pretty suspicious, along with some other people, too. I think maybe even some of people in her previous party had mentioned things later on.
Just Russia means Справедливая Россия?
Oh, can you say that again?
Just Russia, her political party. Справедливая Россия?
Yeah, that's what I wanted to like look up before, but then I just never did. I don't know. Does that party mean anything to you? I don't know who Just Russia is.
Not really. It's kind of an opposition party, one of them, but they are not really like opposition because there is no real opposition in Russia.
Yeah, it said what I found, like it was kind of like a local party. Oh, it said a local branch. So I guess just like the Astrakhan Just Russia branch.
No, it's a local branch, but the party is.
Yeah, it's like the federal. Whole country. Yeah, I know what you mean. She's just some like small town local. Something deputy, I don't know what she's called.
Yeah, I don't think she did something important.
I never heard of her. I don't know, I'll have to try. And I don't think like anyone else I know mentioned her name. The photos of her, she didn't look recognizable. I could never saw her on a billboard or anything, but she had some political missions here in Astrakhan. So, yeah, I think I said before, we're kind of missing some time here. May, not a lot of information. And I know after these notes, after that, we're already in June. Yeah, her last note was June 3rd. And shortly after that, on June 19th, the body of Sasha is found underneath his brother's home. And he's been buried in concrete. So far, police aren't really sure who had done this, who kind of had told them. Wasn't clear in a few articles, but actually, that's not true. I'm lying right now. I know exactly who told the police. And erase that. I forgot to erase this part. And I'm reading my old information. He had to have known, like, I don't know, the mother killed her own child, and then this, the house she buried him in, this is, like, her oldest son's house. I just feel like, I don't know, I feel like moms and sons have, like, especially with their oldest first child, I don't know, like, who else would she tell if she didn't tell anyone? She's definitely going to tell him something. But
that's true.
I don't know, that's what I was thinking. It's what happened, but so at this point, it's June 19th, and the body of Sasha is found under his older brother's house, and he's been buried in concrete. and the brother's home, they had been doing some construction on it. So this flooring was kind of just an open space. There's some photos and videos of the home where he's been buried, and you can see how the floor was kind of raised above the ground. At first, Morozova denied any involvement, but when they mentioned that the body had been found, she just confessed. But it was her son who had tipped off the police about Sasha being underneath the home. So Morozova finally starts to confess. She's telling investigators that Sasha had come home early the morning of March 5th, 2020. So she had reported earlier in the beginning that on March 4th, he left for school for a walk and never ended up at school, never came back home. His phone was off. He had come home. She said that they fought, and there's mixed stories on how this, how the violence took place. Some articles state that they had a fight and she stabbed him with a sharp end of a brush used for hair and then hit him with a dumbbell or a weight that you would use for your arms, lifting weights, and killed him this way in an argument. Other resources stated that he came home, they fought, he slept, and while he was sleeping, she stabbed him in the ear with this brush. And then, I guess, realizing that this didn't kill him, then took the dumbbell and hit him in the head to kill him. I couldn't find anything that, put one or the other in the middle. Either way, whatever happened is horrifying, unimaginable. She mentions that this fight was because of him wanting to sleep over at a friend's house or hang out with friends. So these rumors from earlier, they weren't true, but she mentions just that this age of becoming a teenager was, I guess, too much to handle. She couldn't handle it, but don't really understand that point. You've already had four children who are well above the age of teenagers. The quote she had before that brought her into politics, the two biggest pains of the world are children and mothers. So I don't know what to think about that. So obviously she doesn't feel much pain for children or mothers. As we can see in her actions and all of the actions all of the actions that took place after this, the posts, identifying her dead son on CCTV camera, which clearly wasn't true. So police found Sasha's cell phone and the two murder weapons in a bag in the river. There's also a video of Morozova showing investigators how she murdered her son and how she disposed of him. She's just in her home wearing just a simple house dress or maybe pajama looking dress and dragging around this dummy, fake body around the apartment, around the street, and then eventually to the place where, then eventually to her oldest son's house where she put him into the concrete. And some speculated that she didn't do this alone.
Is your older son lives not far away from here?
That's what I couldn't tell. I didn't really get exact streets, so I don't know how far away he was. But in the video, she shows that she put Sasha's body into her car. So she had to drive there. So driving distance, but I'm assuming like maybe not too far away. I don't even know what time. I didn't see anything about time. The video had no audio. So I think if she was saying anything, it was just you couldn't hear it. And then during the interrogation, they talked to the eldest son. I believe his name is Dennis. He admitted to helping conceal his youngest brother's body underneath of his house. And according to the Criminal Code of Russian Federation, he's not an accomplice in the crime, but I guess he would be considered like, what would it be? Not an accomplice, but like an accessory? I'm not sure what he'd be considered, but he helped hide evidence. Oh, he helped literally hide the body. Me and my friend were trying to figure out what it would be. She helped me find like Russian PDF documents and Russian law, and we were reading them. And then we came up with the answer, and then I forgot what it was, the word we came up with. Because I was like asking her, I was like, what happens if this happens? And then what if somebody does this? And like, but all of this happens in Russia. So she found me the PDF. Let me look at my chat history. It might be like, okay, yeah. So she was saying accessory. And yeah, that's kind of what we came to the conclusion. Hi, Michelle. You helped me. Thank you. So, yeah, accessory in this case. And so that's where I was saying, I think, like, I don't know, how do you hide this from your family? Because people speculated that she didn't act alone, but she said she did. Clearly not, to some extent. I don't know, like, how far her son helped her, other than once they were all at his house. But like, well, I don't know, where was the husband?
Yeah, it's very strange. It's a horrible story. And I think it's not easy to hide a body in general.
Yeah, and to keep it a secret, and especially I guess when you're a political figure, I don't think she's was very popular, very big, but yeah, and you're a child, so there's lots of things there. I'm sure she knew this was going to come up eventually. I don't think she, but that's why her political posts just seem like she was just going to go about her political lifestyle.
Did someone of your family miss before this case?
Like missing before? Oh, yeah, I forgot to mention. So, yeah, she has four children, and Sasha was the youngest. Then there was a sister who I think is about 20, and then the oldest brother, Dennis, I think he's maybe 36, and there's supposed to be another brother. I found only in one article that mentioned that this other brother is also dead under mysterious circumstances. That was it. There was like nothing other than that. No name, no like speculation other than just maybe it was her again. Like maybe this isn't her first crime. Maybe this is actually like her second. What happened to like the other brother, who I think was also older? I believe Sasha was the youngest in the family.
What is the court sentence?
That's what I was going to get to. But before I get to the court sentence, I wanted to read a note from Natalia, Sasha's sister, that she wrote after June 19th and her brother was found. So she says, "Well, I guess I should have my say. I always thought that I had the best family and the most wonderful mom and the most perfect life until that fateful day. I understand that there are so many questions and I will try to answer them in this post. No one in my family, including my father, knew what happened. I sincerely believed that everything was fine with our boy, that he was alive and well, that it just so happened that he would soon return home. I went around the city at night, and in every child I saw Sasha. Every day I prayed to God that all this horror would just end soon. I had no idea it was worse than we thought. I am sincerely grateful to every person who supported, who took part in the search operations, and I am grateful to the police officers who, as it were, found the culprit. In an instant, everything collapsed. I was left without my brother, without a mother, and my father would hardly stand it. I sincerely ask not to call my father, as he has not yet been informed of all of the details, and he is in a very serious condition. Thanks to everyone who didn't look past the situation, was there, and did everything possible. I ask you not to ask me about it. I understand that there are many questions and contempt for our family, but still we are experiencing unbearable grief, and the negativity from the public will obviously be needless. In her post there, she mentions that her father knew nothing of it. Most of the family knew nothing. But I guess this could have been posted before her older brother's admission when he was being asked questions. I didn't get a date on it. Her social media accounts have been, I think, pretty much deleted. She may have like different ones now, but these original ones, I think they're gone. So this was just like from photos, like posted in some journals. So yeah, pretty, I don't know. When I read this note the first time, it was pretty sad. And reading it again, it kind of makes you feel even worse. I just think of like losing a sibling, because I have like my two younger sisters. But like when I listen to like stories like this, I just think like, okay, I want to try and like, how can I relate to it? It's like, okay, well, imagine if like one of your sisters was murdered, killed or something. I'm just like, all right, instantly in that mindset. But yeah.
I don't have siblings, but of course it's, I can't feel it like you feel, but yeah. Yes, sorry. The story, it's absolutely crazy.
Yeah, I mean, you have children, so that's even like deeper, I think. So I don't have kids. I'm not gonna think of my cats that way. So my sisters are like the closest thing like that.
I have no idea how it's possible to, I don't know, to kill your child. It's just impossible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like those things. Like, how do you get into the mindset of these crimes? And especially for a mother who made it a point that her goal in politics is for children and mothers. And there was some articles mentioning something about her like psychological state, but these people who said that these things were like part of these political parties and only have these comments after the fact. So I didn't really put too much into what they're saying, so I didn't really add any of their comments into here. So we're at the court hearing. So the first court hearing was this past November, November 10th, 2020. Morozova, she confesses to the murder. There is some video. I'm not sure which hearing the video is from. You can see her in one of the videos. She's, I guess, dressed in like some mourning clothing. She has like a black headscarf on, black shirt, and she's in these boxes. Why do Russian courts put people in these boxes? Is it like a safety? I'm sure there's multiple reasons for it, but why are people put in the boxes?
Glass boxes.
Yeah, the glass boxes.
Maybe because someone watched, what is it called? Oh God, the movie. I forgot.
Nothing's coming to my mind.
A lamp silence.
Oh, silence of the lambs. Yes, lamb silence. They're so quiet. I don't remember that film. I guess, was he remember? In a cage? Was he like in a glass box in a courtroom?
No, he was in a glass box in the
psychiatry hospital.
Oh, the psych hospital?
I just watched recently a YouTube video about the movie.
Well, I guess that kind of makes a little sense then to, like, protect, not, like, to protect this person, but, like, to protect this person and protect, like, others to, I guess, so you can have some kind of justice. So, like, I guess if someone came into the courthouse and, like, wanted to kill them, I'm assuming it's, like, bulletproof glass. Or if they tried to do something, they couldn't hurt, like, people in the courtroom.
Yeah, maybe it makes sense. I guess it's common here.
Or if anyone listening knows, they can tell us.
Leave the comment below.
Yeah, I don't really know where you can comment. I guess the email or the Instagram page. Those are the only places where on the internet right now. So yeah, she's in this glass, she's in the glass box, and you can see her in her black clothing, her black headscarf, and she pleads guilty in December 2020, right around Christmas. She was deemed sane for her trial. She had an examination. So like in the US, we kind of, like, they do these examinations here in Russia too. The judge of the Astrakhan court, Alexander Bubnov, hope I pronounced that right, Bubnov, announced the verdict, and the court sentenced, the court found Morozova guilty of the crime of Article 105 of Article 105 of the Criminal Code of the Russian Federation, and sentenced her to 14 years in prison. She will serve her sentence in a penal colony of the general regime. But whether she will appeal the sentence, according to her lawyer, will be known, I guess, after they meet. But this was in December. I haven't seen any updates on this case since doing this, looking this up a few days ago.
I can tell you what I've heard about women's prison.
I know there's, like, different types of regimes, and women have a general and... But I felt like, I don't know, general regime sounds very minor in the wording, but is it?
I guess there are three regimes, but a general regime, I think, is... the middle one.
Okay.
And, like, there are three regimes, like, I don't know, like, kind of light regime, general, and harsh.
So they're categorized as very strict, special, strict, general, and open, which I figured maybe she would have gotten, like, strict regime for a crime against a child.
Maybe because it was her first crime, because of that, they sent her to the prison with the general regime.
That could be likely, even though it's pretty severe first crime.
Where would she go in the U.S.? In what prison? Or, like, is it possible that she would get... like electrical chair.
Like some capital punishment? Well, it would depend on the state that she was tried in. And I guess if it were going to be tried in a certain state, in mind, I'm not very super knowledgeable in all of these rules and laws, but it would depend on the state. And I guess if it were tried federally, so, like, she could get a death penalty sentence. That's definitely could happen. But she wouldn't be, like, put to death instantly. She would probably be put in prison, sit on death row. I think you get a certain amount of appeals when you're on death row. So she could be in there for years just making appeal after appeal. Depending on how it goes, because then even during those appeals, you're having another trial, whether or not you should get that appeal. But we don't have, like, regimes, per se. Like, there's definitely security types of prison. I'm like, you might hear, like, max security, something like that. I don't know how you get... I don't know how they base that off your crime. I don't really know. I feel like there's a lot of variations. And I guess, like, with her crime, it seemed very... I don't know, I guess they might categorize it as, like, a crime of passion. It didn't seem like she planned it, but it just happened.
There are two versions of how he killed him.
How she killed him? Yeah, one version being they were arguing and she killed him. The other version is that they argued, but then he went to sleep, and then that's when she killed him.
I think she would get less punishment if she would go right to the police and told them that she killed her son. Like, she would get less...
Less years.
Okay. She could have say, I don't know, that they were in arguing. And she didn't control herself.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. Maybe it would be the most logical thing to do.
Yeah, I'm not super clear on how she admitted to what was happening. I couldn't really find a court document. I don't even know if that's like available. But yeah, it's 14 years, like the max punishment in Russia, or is it? I feel like I read somewhere that you could, like, a life sentence is, like, 20-something.
Mm-hmm.
Is it 20-something? Like, how many years is it?
A life sentence?
Yeah.
So, the court can give you 20 years, and after 20 years is a life sentence. And there is no penalty sentence in Russia. Not anymore.
Like, it was death in penalty? US.
There's no death penalty in Russia. It was in USSR, but not now. Like, effect statement. Does it make any sense, no?
What do you mean by effect? No, I don't understand.
I'll try to translate it. Like, if someone kill someone... But he or she didn't realize, I don't know, temporary insanity.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Heat of passion.
Yeah, that's what I was saying earlier, like some crime of passion. I think the crime of passion is a little bit different than like insanity, but... So that's what I was thinking, like... If she murdered him while arguing, it's kind of like a crime of passion. I mean, to me, it doesn't mean less time. I don't know, 14 years, not sure if any amount of time would ever be enough for that, no matter what.
After the murder, she behaved like a psychopath.
That's what a lot of people said. Some of her like colleagues mentioned that they could tell something was inside of her. That's how it translated. It translated very weird, that there was like something inside of this person that needed to come out. One person was quoted saying, but I mean, I guess that's, I mean, how else would you act? I don't know, killing your own child. I guess you would kind of snap, or I don't know. I don't know if I would. I don't know how we would hope for that person to snap. So at least we know that they know something. They feel something. I don't think she is like a sociopath, like someone who feels like literally nothing, but no sympathy either way.
I think I'm just curious if she read about grief. What does grief look like, for example?
If she did,
she would be smart enough, maybe she would read about
I kind of wondered that too when I watched the video of her like crying at the courthouse. It was very brief, so it wasn't like much to analyze there, but also just like with the messages she wrote and the video that of showing her of like how and what she did with the body was so strange. I think that's a common thing for like investigations to do, like if you can get the murderer to like kind of show you where and how something was done, they do it. But just how like every day it looked, like in the video, it was like a beautiful hot summer afternoon day, and this woman's just like in her everyday clothes, and these two officers are just like following her around her home and her street, and as just looked normal, and normal in a weird way.
Too normal.
Yeah, too normal that it was weird. And the fact that she was like in her regular everyday clothes, not handcuffed, like that's what I mean by like she's not like a crazy killer. It was something specific.
I watched the video about sociology recently, and the professor, she told that the one who should be scared your children is you. Like in the statistics, usually parents kill their children. It's Russian statistics.
Yeah, I don't know. That's...
maybe it's different somewhere.
No, I think that's pretty. I think maybe across the board, like in most places, it's usually it's in a lot of kids get harmed in a lot of domestic disputes, not the other way around. Happens, but I think the other way is definitely the most common. So yeah, that's why this, like, I don't know, this case, when you like go back and read the messages and just think about the beginning part, especially when they reported him missing 2 days later, and the father didn't know anything. I don't know. I had a feeling he might have knew something. They all live in the home together. I'm assuming the three of them, at least. And he could have been away on business. But again, this was quarantine. We were on pretty strict lockdown in those months and March. But there's no...
no evidence.
Yeah, that he... I don't think he did anything, the father, but I feel like he had known something, like knew something happened. I mean, unless he slept through everything, but still, I think he was aware of what his wife did. And then she went to her oldest son, because I don't know, I just feel like who else are you supposed to go to at that, well, besides the police, but since in this case, like, she wanted to hide what she did for whatever reason, for as long as she thought she could, and had it like drag her other son into it. On a lighter note, I found like a short article on some, who was it? Where was it? I think in Omsk or Tomsk, one of those places, some fortune teller had predicted this happening. And honestly, I don't believe in any of it. Once he went missing, she had some kind of like vague prediction. He's in something, he's underneath of something, maybe in water, maybe in something solid. And who did this to him is like somebody close to him, maybe a friend, maybe family, like very kind of matter of the fact things. I found a TV show. I'm going to say it was on Channel 1. I forget the name of the TV show, but they had like a huge group of people on there just talking about this case. Some woman on there even doesn't believe that she did any of this, that she's taking the blame for somebody else. then they had the fortune teller come on the TV show. I was like, really? Like, she's some like village woman, just throw her on the TV show. But they had quite a few people on there. One man was kind of making sense. From what I understood, I hope like his translations were coming out accurate, but it was kind of interesting to hear.
I can tell you the funny story. So I remembered my father, and so when he was about 10 or 12, I don't remember for sure, from 12 to 15. So he took his things. He went to the train alone in the night, and he went to Siberia.
Why was he going to Siberia?
I think he was tired of his parents,
wanted to run away.
Like his parents, like, it's kind of the same story. So he has to be the best at school, and he had to do sports, to do like a lot of things, and they didn't give him like his own space.
Yeah, exactly.
His own freedom. So he took his things, his clothes, and he went to Siberia.
Oh, so he actually got to Siberia.
So the city where he was caught, it was Kemerovo. It's far away from Odessa. It's like the whole country.
Yeah, it's probably pretty far.
It's the whole country. I think.
How long did he stay there?
His clothes was not warm enough for Kemerovo.
Yeah, sure. From Odessa.
Yeah, like Odessa is on the south, and Kemerovo is in Siberia.
Yeah, quite different climates.
Yeah, and he just sat on the tram, and he was very cold. And I think the tram worker, they called to the police, and police took him to
a police station.
Yes, they took him to the police station, and he said to them, he said them his name, he said them where he's from, and after some time, his father came to him and took him back to Odessa.
Oh, so he went all the way to Siberia too.
Yes, to.
I would have been like, just get back on that train you got on and get back here.
Maybe like his father was afraid that he won't go back to Odessa. He will go somewhere else.
That's quite a distance. Like, it's not like being on the other side of town. Like, I was trying to go somewhere and then you go pick up your kids. Like, no, he went like a few time zones away. So, oh yeah. So, and also tomorrow is Women's Day. So we have like the anniversary of this crime and done by a woman, and this won't be posted on Women's Day tomorrow, but so we did like two in one, an anniversary and the 1 year anniversary of this crime and a Women's Day murder. But this will probably be posted after Women's Day. But in the US, it's Women's History Month the whole entire month. So It'll what fit is in it? For that. Women's History Month.
And what does it mean?
The history of women. And all of our great all of our accomplishments. I guess it's like the same thing for like Russia's Women's Day, but it's like a whole month of it. But we don't celebrate it like with flowers and candy or whatever. It's just like known.
You just talk about how to say it. Inequality.
Yeah, some stuff like that. Yeah, try to like kind of bring up some things that still need to be worked on. Look at what has been accomplished, what needs to be accomplished, and everything. But it's not like...
Is it every March or it's only this March in this year?
Every March, yeah.
We have every March.
Yeah. So yeah, we'll end this case there with our Women's Day month story. And yeah, we have an Instagram. So you can find us on Instagram at StalinOnYouPod. I believe that's the ending. That should be it. And oh, we have an email too. If anyone wants to email us, it's StalinOnYouPod@yandex.ru. Like our option Google.
It's YANDEX. Dot R U.
Yeah,
I mean Yandex. Yeah. Yandex Ru.
Yeah, Yandex.
If someone will have problem with Yandex.
Yeah, so that's our email, our Instagram, and yeah, and oh, we'll probably have our next. Maybe we'll have our next case out in a month or so. So yeah, thanks for listening and bye.
Thanks for listening. Okay. Bye. I sound
strange. Like you're losing your voice.
Thanks for listening. We'll try to make more interesting content, more interesting stories. And yeah.
Paka, paka.
Paka, paka.